بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم جعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts and to make us among those who listen carefully to words of admonition and follow the best of them. We're going to start today with Surah number 94, Surah Ash-Sharh, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. The word Sharh means exposition or opening or expansion or an explanation, elucidation, all of those. So this is an early Meccan surah, and it is like a companion to and continuation of the last surah that we covered, which is Surah Ad-Duha, surah number 93, and most likely revealed shortly or right after Surah Ad-Duha. So it's like a companion to that surah. And as you remember, the ending of Surah Ad-Duha started with, used the linguistically with alam, and this surah also starts with alam, which is a question in the denial, and we talked about what that means, that isn't this so obvious. So both these surahs, as you know, talk about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, portraying the divine care as a reassurance and a promise of relief of the difficulties that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was facing. These reassurances are a preparation for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, preparing him and informing him that Allah has chosen him and enabled him for a great task to receive and disseminate the divine revelation, the wisdom and the guidance. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is honored for all times, and that ultimately and inevitably there will be ease for him in his task and success. Surah Ad-Duha talked about the removal of physical difficulties. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about removal of poverty, you know, taking care of him when he was an orphan, and so on and so forth. This surah is a reassurance of removal of spiritual difficulties and challenges, with removal of burden of fault that the Prophet ﷺ felt, and his concerns about his own ability and worthiness to deliver the message, namely the great task of prophethood. So, as we said, the two surahs talk about the removal of physical difficulties in the previous one, and in this one, the removal of spiritual difficulties. For us, we should know that spiritual help and physical help both come from the same source, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. So we start with the first ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not opened and expanded your breast, your heart for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with our guidance? Have we not opened and expanded your chest? It's like such an obvious thing. Means, don't you know? Don't you recognize? Alam nashrah laka sadrak? Is there any doubt about it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what does it mean? As we know from the seerah, there was actually a physical opening of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on at least two occasions. We know that when he was a child with the tribe of Banu Sa'd, under the care of Halima radiallahu anha, that one time he was playing and his milk brother came running to Halima radiallahu anha and said, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not well, and described what had happened. That he said a man came and he grabbed him and put him down and he opened his chest and he removed something from his heart as a child, washed it, when he took this thing out, he said, this was Shaitan's share of you. So this is narrated in by Imam Muslim. In the narration from Imam Ahmad, there is the removal of malice and envy and anger from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is symbolic of spiritual cleansing of his heart sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know it happened a second time at the occasion of the Isra and Miraj, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibril alaihi wasallam came with another angel and they opened up my chest and took out my heart and washed it in Zamzam and then poured into it through from a container wisdom and faith. And this is a hadith which is muttafaqun alayh, narrated both by Bukhari and Muslim, in which there is no doubt. So these are two actual physical openings of the chest, but most of the commentators have considered this metaphorically to have a deeper meaning than that, that it means that, according to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his chest to Islam as a religion and as a law, and filled it with faith and wisdom and knowledge, and illuminated it and bestowed wisdom and ability to receive the message after it was difficult for him after the initial encounter, making it easy for him to understand and practice of the faith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him, by expanding his chest, accommodative and easy, and gave him the ability to bear patiently the difficulties and challenges that he would face, and to be able to receive the decree, that is the religion shari'i, as well as the calamities and difficulties. And also, by having a big heart or a big chest, to be able to deal justly and patiently with people who opposed him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because this used to bother the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot, what people used to say and ridicule, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ, that we certainly know that your heart is truly constricted and distressed by what they say. You are so upset at their rejection of the message and their denial of the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have relieved you of your distress and worry, and we are showing you some of the realities of things and the insignificance of this world so that you do not get bothered by these things. So all of these blessings that this sharh of his chest sallallahu alaihi wasallam implies are bestowed in him in order to enable him to achieve all levels of perfection that were pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it's interesting to note that this favor of sharh, of opening and expansion, was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a special gift without asking for it. Why do I say that? Because we have another great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, messenger, Musa alayhi salam, who actually asked for it. As we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Qala, Musa alayhi salam said, Rabbish rahli sadri, O Allah, expand my chest, wa yassirli amri, and make my affairs easy, wahlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli, and remove the impediment of my tongue. So Musa alayhi salam asked for three things to be given: the sharh of his chest, making his affairs easy, and to be able to talk properly. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam all three without asking. Alam nashrah laka sadrak, we have done this for you. Then, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, we will give you ease along with difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the balagha, the eloquence of his tongue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these three special blessings that Musa alayhi wa sallam had to ask for. Again, that tells you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's also recommended that we should supplicate in our dua, use this as a dua in the times of hardship and distress by saying, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expand my chest that I don't get distressed, I don't get overpowered, I don't go into depression, that I'm able to handle all of these difficulties and make my matters easy. So in difficult times, such as what we are going through in the world today, it's good to say this dua repeatedly. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Thinking about it. Now, this sharh of the chest or the heart is also a special gift to others, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That whomever Allah desires to guide, he opens and spreads open his heart to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُدِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ دَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. And whoso Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to misguide because of their evil, he makes their hearts narrow and constricted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this similitude of what this constriction feels like. He says, كَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. As if this person is climbing up in the sky. And this is an interesting thing. You know, when we fly in the air, they have to be pressurized, because otherwise we can't take that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this example that people who are not guided feel that constriction of not being able to breathe, feel that distress. So this is also something that Allah grants to those, this sharh at a different level than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his ibad who are looking for guidance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in the next ayah, وَوَدَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and have we not removed from you your burden, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَدَعْنَا means to take something and put it down. That we delivered you from this burden that you're carrying, this wizr. Wizrak, your burden. So what was the burden that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was carrying? Number one is the immense weight and responsibility and accountability of prophethood and the impact it would have on all of humanity till the day of judgment. So it's a huge responsibility. So the Prophet ﷺ felt burdened by it. Perhaps there was also the burden that Rasulullah ﷺ was fearful that he was not worthy enough for this huge task of being a messenger of Allah, and that he would not be pleasing enough to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe the Lord of everything before Nabuwa that he now considered improper or sinful. You've been given this, and he may have made some mistakes in a human thing. He wanted to go and listen to this music and attend a wedding, things like that. Okay, minute things. Yet now, knowing what his status is, this Lord of knowing, as his prophetic spiritual maturation takes place, he sees even his minute actions before prophethood as being magnified in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfection and expectations of him. So he now sees things himself through a nabawi lens. In other words, as he is graduating spiritually, his spiritual ascent in his maqamat, his status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is now giving him the ability to look down at his previous maqam or level, and he now considers where he was as defective. such as he now realizes that my expression of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where I was insufficient. So as he ascends, he sees things clearer and is concerned about where he was. And that carries with that the burden of istighfar. That's why he used to do a lot of istighfar. Ya Allah, where was I? And he was almost perfect even then. Yet he is doing istighfar. So that's another thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures him elsewhere that he does not need to carry this burden. And later on in the revelation, as we know in Surah Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Which means, verily, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have given you a clear and manifest victory so that Allah may forgive your sins of the past and the future and complete His favor on you and guide you to the straight path. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry about what you did in the past. Don't worry about what you may do in the future. Allah has forgiven you all of that. Okay, so don't carry this burden with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, Alladhi anqadha dhahrak, that burden which was weighing you down so heavily on your back, as if your back was being broken by this burden. Naqada means somebody who is just being weighed down. And dhahr is the back. So this term is also used, you know, when the camels come back from a long journey and they have lost weight and they look beaten up and they are worn out. It's called hadha naqdu safar. It means this camel is in a state that is showing all the wear and tear and burden of the safar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have removed the burden of the prophethood and everything else that has weighed you down. And then he says something very beautiful. He says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we have raised high and exalted for you your name, your reputation, your remembrance, your fame, your renown, your mention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we have raised your mention. What does that mean? We have given you such a special status. So if we look in the dunya, what does it manifest as? Every time we say La ilaha illallah, we accompany it by saying Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has associated His abd with His own mention, with His own tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this dunya so that whenever the shahada is taken, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. Whenever the adhan is called, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah is called. Whenever we are in salah, in tashahud, we mention Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, and this is going to go on till the day of judgment. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. This is in the dunya, in the malakut al-a'la, in the higher dimensions. The angels are remembering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah and his angels send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's going on continuously. This is the elevation of the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was honored even before creation. There are narrations of that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kuntu nabiyan wa adam bayna ruh wal jasad. That I was a nabi. He had been honored before Adam alayhi salam was even created. And there are some narrations, I'm just going to mention, where he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his name is inscribed in the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Muhammadur Rasulullah. And in some other narrations, he said, my name is written on the leaves of Jannah. So this is even before creation. And in the hereafter, he is honored, as we know, that he is given that very special status near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called Maqam-e Mahmood, the praised station, Maqam, the ultimate of Maqam that an abd can be given, a slave can be given. That he has been given the intercession, he has been given the Hawd and the Kawthar, and he is the one who will open the door of Jannah. And also his mention is elevated because he is mentioned in the previous scriptures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that his name has been mentioned in previous scriptures. So, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And this is what we know. And there may be many other dimensions in which the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been elevated. So after telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intimate, all of these are second person, singular, telling you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I did this to you, I opened your chest, I removed your burden, I elevated your rank, therefore, إِنَّمَا عَلْ أُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So indeed, with hardship and difficulty, there is ease and relief. In other words, the one who has done all this has put ease with hardship for you. So that fa links with what happened before, and this is a consequence. Innama means for you, there will be ease with the difficulties you are facing. Don't worry. This is a specific reassurance for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usr is difficulty and hardship. Yusr is ease. This is a specific reassurance for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah says, "Innama al usri yusra." Indeed, with hardship and difficulty, there is relief. A second time, to reaffirm it, to stress it, and some of the scholars have said that the second "Innama al usri yusra" is for the rest of the ummah. Because the first one is specific for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but saying it's not just for him, innama al usri yusra, with every difficulty there is ease. Now there is some nuances of the Arabic grammar in this, that the difficulty which is usr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in what is called a marfu or specified form by putting al in front of means the difficulty, which makes it specific, the difficulty. But he did not put the same al after the yusr, which is called nakira or indefinite, which means unlimited, unspecified. Means there is no limit to the ease. Okay. So this is also beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, a certain difficulty such as corona will come, but there will be many different eases that will come with it. Okay, many different reliefs that will come with it. The difficulty is one, but the eases are many. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَنْ يَغْلِبْ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن, that one instance of difficulty can never overcome two instances of ease, yusrain, because it's mentioned yusrain, yusrain, yusr. So in other words, what he is saying is that with every hardship, there is at least two reliefs associated with it, but multiple reliefs. And therefore, he said, the hardship will never overcome the relief. In other words, in the end, the relief and ease will prevail. So after these beautiful basharats and glad tidings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therefore, this is Allah's favors to you. Now, what is your job? Therefore, إِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. So when you have some faragha, which means you are unoccupied, you have finished your work, you have some vacancy in your schedule. Now what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing all this time? What was he busy with anyway? Work of Allah, with dawah, or family affairs, or some things of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you have finished with this, فَنْصَبْ. فَنْصَبْ means get ready and prepare and exert yourself more fully in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ibadah, in the prayer, in the dhikr, in the dua, and more nawafil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that your daytime effort of da'wah and all of these things, all the beautiful things that he is doing, including taking care of his family and all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you have some free time from that, now that's not time for relaxation for you. Now you need to really exert with your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fangsab means it's a command to exert and to turn to Allah more fully, completely, resolutely, free from all worldly affairs, dedicated in ibadah. And as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood sometimes all night. He stood till his feet would swell, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till his noble feet would crack from standing for so long. And our mother Aisha radiallahu anha reminded him of this ayah that we earlier mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you your past and your future. Why do you strain so much? And then what was his response, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said, should I then not be a grateful servant? In other words, how can I thank Allah for that? This what I'm standing all night is not sufficient even, you know. So what this is telling us, that even the worldly duties, if they could distract Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his ibadah, how much do they distract us? And therefore, how much more time do we need to take to put those worldly worries and occupations aside to dedicate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in this distraction reference, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually told us some simple formula. He said, There is no salah when food is served. And he said, there is no salah when a person feels the urgency to relieve themselves. In other words, these are worldly distractions. You are hungry, food is served, and you are quickly trying to do salah so that you can eat. He says, no. You know, you need to go and relieve yourself. And you say, well, let me finish, I still have wudu. No. Go take care of those things. Come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of ease where you can focus and dedicate. So just keep those practical things in mind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the last, while you are doing this, wa ila rabbika farghab, and turn to your Lord alone. In raghaba means hope and desire. Means put your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn in hope for everything, with all your attention, your intention, your longing, your dua to Allah. Let your desire be Allah alone. Let your hope be only in Allah as the ultimate source of all goodness and relief. So pray only to Him and only for His pleasure with your full attention, because your strength and your inner peace will come only from Allah in the face of every difficulty, in every adversity, in a hostile environment. So this is specifically addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it has general implications for his followers. Okay, all of these are for us also. So now imagine, once this was revealed, what kind of joy it must have given Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, solace and relief and comfort. Now we have to look in our hearts, that when we read the surah, and now we understand its meaning, alhamdulillah, look in our hearts and see, do we experience that light? Do we experience that happiness of Allah's assurances and promises? Do we feel the solace and relief and comfort? Do we feel reassured? This times that we are living in is a good time with our current trials to evaluate ourselves. When I read the Qur'an, such as what we have just read, does it remove the anxieties and worries of coronavirus and death and suffering and all of those things and financial loss? Does it give me certainty? Yes, there will be ease. And more importantly, the last two parts, all of those blessings, have I turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is my ibadah more focused than it used to be? Are my hopes and desires solely turned to Allah? Am I only looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief? Or I'm still running around, you know, to many different ilah. You know, will the doctor save me? Will the vaccine save me? Will such and such save me? Will the financial, you know, relief package save me? Or I said, Allah will save me and He will make the means for the relief. Whether it's a vaccine, whether it's a relief check, whether whatever it is, that I know Allah has created me. Allah is my provider. He is my Raziq. He is my Khaliq. He is the one who gave me life. And if He's decided to take my life through this trial, then it will be. If He is not, then it cannot be. Then I submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I turn to Him with my full focus. Ya Allah, this is an opportunity You are giving me to refocus my efforts, to reset the course of my life, so that I may be on that Sirat al-Mustaqim from which I may have taken a slight detour. And this is my opportunity. So with that, inshallah, we will open it up for questions. We have about 15 minutes before Maghrib, inshallah. So,
do you know on that chat?
Am I going to open this up, or is somebody else going to be doing this?